This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So indeed, how does the revelation about UFO reality or potential reality impact your daily life? Does it really?
Well, not now the way it is. If the aliens come down and make themselves available for all of us to see, I think that's going to be the only way it's going to really impact people. But, I mean, I don't know. For all I know, a craft could come down over a golf course, and all that would happen is the people would be going like, you know, get out of the way. I'm trying to hit my ball. This damn ship is in the way. There's some people that just are so thick on this that just that it boggles my mind.
I'm firmly in your camp in terms of my brain just simply cannot put this subject down. It's the puzzle of all puzzles. And you mentioned Dolan there, and I had a silly notion myself that I was going to be able to get into this and find some sort of bearing and be able to navigate the subject. And it's just further from the truth. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving, Randall.
Absolutely. Well, Friedman is another one. We've all listened to Friedman. And if you're new to the field, for those who haven't, go look up Friedman. And he's got a whole lecture that he does that he's been doing for years. And he tells how he got started in it with the same sort of idea. Oh, this seems like sort of like nonsense, but it's kind of interesting. And then he got himself the report on unidentified flying objects and Project Special Report number 14. And once he started looking at the information and the data and the people were taking this seriously, he became hooked. And now he's about ready to retire, and it's pretty much retired out of the field, but he still does talks. But we're talking about someone who's been how long, Gene? You know, 30, 40 years or something?
I was looking here at the number of episodes Friedman has appeared in on the Paracast, and I'm kind of adding them up in my head. He's been on 14 times. Most recently, last April of 2018, this was about the time he retired from active lecture tours. I think he was doing one or two more, and that was it. I haven't heard much from him since then. His website is still active. The problem I have with Stan, I mean, I like him, I've known him for many years, is that he's reduced his UFO presentation to cliches. Cosmic Watergate. You get the picture.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, and if you've never listened to Stan, it's fine for the first few times. But after that, you realize that, you know, that's he's got a standard format and that's just what he goes with, which is okay. It's a great introduction to the subject. Nothing wrong with that. No disrespect there. You know, someone else I really like actually who is a little bit newer is the Red Pill Junkie. What do you think of him, Mark?
I listen to every time he's on the show, you guys. If I see that Red Pill is going to be on there, I make sure that I don't miss it. He has some unique perspectives, and I think that's what the field needs, is more unique minds looking at this and coming up with more novel and unique explanations for some of it. But no, I appreciate him as an individual and just that uniqueness and individuality that he brings to the subject matter. We need more of that.
And Greg Bishop?
I'm not as familiar with Greg's work. I certainly know who Greg is. But I'm struggling to figure out, I'm trying to think bottom line right now, what is his bottom line on the topic, and it's escaping me. What is Greg's bottom line on it?
Right. Well, he's talking about a UFO co-creation theory, which appears to involve a collective unconscious and our individual participation in what we see.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of Greg's thing right now. Although I think Greg might himself say that, well, he's not committed to any particular thing. And that's why he likes this co-creation thing, because it doesn't attribute the phenomenon to any particular thing. He said, well, it could be that there are actual aliens coming here, but that doesn't explain everything. And he's right. Because so much of the subject, I think, is actually cultural. So we have all these cultural expectations, or what Christopher O'Brien used to call cultural front loading, that goes on with it.
And more every year, right? I mean, that's the problem, is that, yeah, people are getting so front loaded as the industry grows. We're talking about an industry here. So one of the things that I need to be careful of, I always think about this, and I would encourage other people that just get in the field, remember that there's an industry built around this information, and you've really got to put the blinders on to the industry as you're going to move through some of this content. You know, the blue space chickens and some of the crazy stuff that's out there, you guys.
What's the craziest thing that's out there? What do you figure?
Randall, interdimensional beings. I just think it's the biggest bunch of speculation, for the best word I can think of. But interdimensional traveling beings I don't even like to talk about it, frankly. I just think it's so far out there. I think that the mysteries of the consciousness, as we talked about a little bit last time I was on the show, represents, you know, that was going to shed a lot more insight when we start talking about experiences of what we think are interdimensional beings is most likely a function of the consciousness phenomena. But no, to strictly say that there are things blinking in and out of this universe is by far the most outlandish thing I can think of.
We got talking on a fairly recent show about the idea that there is what I call fringe ufology. And that's where we get out into the way you're saying, well, we've got dimensions. And dimensions are, from my perspective, to be differentiated from other universes. Yes, other universes would have other dimensions, but they would still, of necessity, still have to have the same three that we deal with in spatial terms. But dimensions themselves, yeah, that gets into nonsense. Abductions are a possibility, but then you get into the whole galactic brotherhood kind of thing. And to me, that sort of thing is really getting out there into fringe ufology. Where does standard ufology or mainstream ufology or serious ufology end and fringe ufology begin in your mind?
Well, you're hitting it right on the head for me, and that's why I'm focusing so much on these personal accounts, where people find themselves in a position where they feel physically threatened by an encounter with a supposed extraterrestrial. That is where the rubber meets the road for me, and that's why I focus on it. There is so much there in terms of the situation, the person. I believe these people had an experience. Now, was it aliens? Well, that's why I'm running down the hospital records to see if anybody was shot with a .22 gunshot wound, because, you know, it may have been a prank. You know, who knows what was happening out there that day. So, you know, that's where the attention needs to stay, in my opinion. I don't know if I'm answering you correctly, but I would stay away from all the other speculation. I'm focusing, at least for myself, on these very personal encounters that have a great deal of detail to them. Not just these random stories, you know, where I was driving, I had lost time, etc. However, some of these stories do have elements of that. In fact, I brought up the Paul Miller case earlier, where there were actual MIBs that came and visited him. Guess where he worked? Out at the Air Force Base outside of Minot. And so there, you find some of these other fringe ufology memes or some of these other components or residual, phenomena that accompany ufology. But it's these personal encounters. Again, you guys, these people had these experiences, and there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of detail to go over. So, yeah, for me, I can handle a little bit of fringe that accompanies some of these personal encounter cases. But I try not to take too much of that with me, at least in my research.
Let's do our break here. We've got Mark Jackson, TDSR, in the forums. And he told you already what that means. What that means to us is, with Gene and Randall, You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 76280. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 76280. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Actually, that is the TDSR is the technique that Randall uses for his echo chamber. Other than going to the Abbey Road studios and going into their physical echo chambers back in the 60s, back through time. What about time travelers? Seriously, Mark, do you think there's any way we can travel back or forth through time? Or do we get into all those paradoxes and crazy stuff?
Boy, I don't think so, guys. Not for me. I don't think time travel is a thing. I don't think it's occurring or anything. I don't know if it's even achievable. I know that there are a lot of speculation, mind experiments, et cetera, where physicists are saying that this is possible. But, I don't believe in a gene flat out. I think it's craziness, to be honest with you. How about you? I mean, that's a big topic there, but I'll just cut myself off because I just don't believe in it.
Well, you know what? I tend to think that time itself may be an illusion, and therefore maybe we could do it. But then I think of that movie Somewhere in Time, where Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour fall in love with each other from 75 years apart or something. And he wills himself to go back through time mentally, which is kind of a wild fantasy. And, of course, we have the time machine, the classic H.G. Wells novel that's been made into a movie or TV show several times, where he goes into the far future and sees mankind decimated by this evil race that reminds me of the Deros, right? I can't say it's impossible because who's to know? We don't know what we're going to develop scientifically 10 years from now, though we have an indication. We speculate on what's going to happen in the 23rd century because of Star Trek. But we don't know. We don't know what we'll have 1,000 years from now. If time is an illusion, then where do we go from there?
Don't even get me started on temporal mechanics, because it was even beyond her. And, of course, in Star Trek, they have the temporal Cold War. And, okay, it makes a great plot device, but it's really not possible the way that people envision it in these sci-fi plot lines, at least not logically. Like, I'm with the Vulcan Science Directorate that has determined that time travel is not possible.
You know, how many of the UFO narratives are about aliens coming from the future to warn us about things? Where does time travel play in to some of these more enduring stories? And I think the one that's coming to mind from you guys is the alien who spoke 90 languages, blah, blah, met with Eisenhower, whoever. So he's like this famous individual. A lot of lore surrounds him. Do you know who I'm talking about? His name was he was supposedly an alien that visited Eisenhower.
It's tweaking my memory, but I don't recall the story. Right,
Valiant Thor. Yeah, right. Valiant Thor. So was Valiant Thor from the future? What was his deal? And what was the whole message to Eisenhower supposedly, surrounding enduring story? Gene?
Valiant Thor, or Val Thor, is from Dr. Frank Strange's.
So this was the name that they just gave him?
This was the name of the alien that Dr. Strange has allegedly encountered.
But then again, Gene, like, you've made this point in the past. Just because some alien comes down to Earth and says, I'm an alien, and it becomes obvious to us, they really are an alien. Well, that experience could be very overwhelming, to the point of where people just, for a time at least, take it for granted that what the alien is saying must be true. Because, after all, if, it's true that aliens can exist, well, wow, why shouldn't it be true what he's saying to us? And I have a problem with that. I think that we need to subject the claims of the aliens to the same level of critical thinking that we subject ourselves to and say, okay, prove to me time travel is possible in any way, shape, or form. And then we can talk about, what it is that you think we should be doing.
So many of the encounters, you guys, seem to me like the aliens are just sort of tiptoeing around and they don't want to be seen. They're kind of like they just do their dirt and disappear. They have this agenda, and sometimes they get busted by people. It's like they have this rich life on Earth as long as they can avoid us. And then every once in a while, there's these encounters where we encounter them. And from what I can tell, they're just as scared of us as we are of them, at least in terms of the research I've been doing the last couple of years. So I'm going to continue to follow that because there's something in that that is yet to be unpacked. And that is, we startle them. They're scared of us. I don't think anybody's ever really did a comprehensive look at the way that the aliens actually behave to us. And that's a kind of a side comment to what you're saying, Randall.
But anyway, it's important. Keep going. I think that's a really valid point. Say, if we take it as a given that they've been coming here for a long time and that some of the alien ancient sightings or reports are actually true. There were ancient aliens. Well, back in the day, we sacrificed our livestock to them because we deemed them to be gods, so far beyond our capacity. Well, back in those days, if those were aliens, they didn't have a lot to worry about. You know, move ahead to post-World War II, and suddenly we're developing nuclear weapons and jet fighters. Oh, maybe we're not quite so ready to sacrifice our, you know, our daughters and livestock to them for whatever purpose they might have. And so they should rightfully be cautious, at least take measures, defensive measures against this. And they do. They try to, for the most part, stay out of range. And beyond our ability to acquire material evidence that we can analyze in science, in, you know, in a laboratory, not simply social sciences or the soft sciences, but hard material evidence. I mean, they're allegedly, they did also take a shot at a UFO over the Great Lakes, I believe, or near the Great Lakes. A piece fell off the craft and was supposedly retrieved. And that was analyzed, and it was supposed to have all these little tiny microspherules. I think they said it was of magnesium. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's not like there's never been any physical evidence, but it's just that we don't have it in any place where we can see and actually follow the chain of evidence or where it came from to the degree that we would need to be able to convince others that it really came off of a UFO.
Well, of course, again, we come to the point of, are the aliens here to deceive us? Are they here to help us? If they are here to help us, E.T. is feckless because it's accomplished absolutely nothing. All these people saying we've talked to E.T. and they're here to help us rather than to harm us. The Space Brothers want us to join the Brotherhood. Well, calling somebody a farmer in Podunk, Iowa, nothing to offend those in Podunk, Iowa, is not going to help your galactic efforts. It means that you're a bunch of idiots. Do something to prove that as alien creatures, you have the power to enforce something and you're what you claim to be. More to come with Mark, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. It's day 22, and the partial government shutdown is now the longest in U.S. history. The president is again threatening Congress.
If they can't do it, if at some point they just can't do it, this is a 15-minute meeting. If they can't do it, I will declare a national emergency.
Congress is now at recess for the weekend. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she still blames the president for the continued shutdown.
It's a needless crisis that is inflicting pain on the American people.
The president has spent the past few days highlighting what he sees as the security and humanitarian crisis at the border. About 800,000 federal workers missed paychecks on Friday. Many of them tweeted pay stubs that read $0. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So now that I've called the aliens feckless, will the men in black come after me?
Yeah, maybe if we try name-calling you aliens.
Nick Redfern would probably give you a heads-up on whether or not you're crossing the line with the MIBs.
Encountered anything like that yourself? Any sort of mysterious people or beings? Or what is your take on the idea of, like, Timothy Good? You probably have heard of him, right? Well-known author. There's another one of the books, actually, the Beyond Top Secret by Tim Good. Fabulous book. You know, he believes that they're actually among us and that they can communicate telepathically. Now, Tim Good, this was a real shift for him from my perspective, who I had thought was fairly mainstream. Stick with the stories, the reports, analyze the reports in an objective way with a critical mind. And then he's kind of, I guess in some people's minds, almost like gone off the edge with this whole idea that they're here, they can speak to you telepathically and so on. Is there a tendency for people in the ufology community to start off more or less mainstream and sensible, and then as they run out of material and saying the same thing over and over and over again, they have to keep creating more fantastic stories in order to maintain their audience's interest?
We had Tim Good on the Paracast some years back. The book was above Top Secret. I'm going to look up the date. We had Tim Good on the Paracast twice with David Biedney, January 13, 2008, and December 22, 2013, where Chris O'Brien was with us. On that episode, he indicated that he was favorably disposed towards the claims of George Adamski. And I was inclined to freak. What's happened to this guy? It is so obviously fake, Adamski. Not that he didn't have some kind of weird experience and couched it in sci-fi terms. But I wondered how. could you have descended to that? I don't know if it's a matter of falling off the wagon, needing to come out with better claims, or something that changed his attitude. But I don't think it's a common thing.
I think it's just being caught up in that industry, as I call it, right? I mean, that's just, look, it would be really interesting, and I'll entertain it for a moment. Okay, there's aliens walking among us. How can I believe that? Is there an analog for that, you know? Well, if they can cross space, you know, and build advanced technologies, you know, there is a possibility that they're going to be able to disguise themselves in a way where we might not be able to tell. So I could see that there's a you know, if we're going to assume things and make, you know, and string them together. Yeah, if you're going to go all in on it, why aren't they here? You know, if they've been studying us for thousands of years, be pretty easy to mimic, you know, what we do. Genetics give us the background or the lens by which we can look this through, where certainly we're doing genetic testing. And of course, we all know that the abductee phenomena involves a lot of genetic claims. I mean, there are people out there that they themselves think they're part alien, which is a fascinating study in psychology, of course, for me. But yeah, we get to the point where there are literally people on our planet that claim they're half alien. So right. Where does it end?
Like in a physical sense too, by their DNA. And there has been an attempt to try to isolate the genetic blueprint of those people to see if it is actually possible that you know, is there some physical marker there that would lend credibility to that claim? But then we have other people, like you said, aliens among us. Well, if I recall correctly, that was actually the title of a book by a psychic named Ruth Montgomery years ago. And that gets into the whole idea of things like walk-ins and the spiritual, for lack of a better term, side of things where people are, well, it's almost like channeling, except they're saying, well, the spirit of the alien actually goes in and takes over who they were, and they become the alien themselves. You know, to me, this is getting way out there in fringe ufology. How about you?
That's fringe ufology for me. There's a gentleman, I want to say his name's George Green, but he's the one that channels and writes all these books. He's channeled three different books and about what the message is. And that, I think that was a phenomenon maybe in the late 60s as well, where, you know, they were communicating across vast distances of space, telepathy with us. And that made for a bunch of good sci-fi. But, there's definitely, well, look, even like Tesla and Einstein, everybody always drops their names because they were remotely inspired, for lack of a better term. Meaning they didn't know where exactly the information was coming from, whether it was in daydream form, et cetera. But there are some very intelligent people that have said that it's almost like I'm getting a message from somewhere in the universe and I'm just simply writing this stuff down. And they're having these very large, these very large ideas and deconstructing concepts and coming up with these grains of truth in these states that allow us to actually make technological advancements. So, I mean, again, that's coming right from the person. Now, mystery of the consciousness, psychology, drugs, who knows, right? So, but, I mean, look, we have actual cases for that. And those stories have led to advancements in our society in one way or another. So you can't dispute that phenomenon.
But now, you can we really differ?
What it was.
Yeah, can we really differentiate that from well-known examples of, say, just inspiration of the human mind? But there was another, getting sort of linking this to popular culture and or sci-fi, there was a movie called K-Pax. Now, this starred Jeff Bridges, who had also starred in another movie called Starman, in which the government was, he played the part of an alien and he was getting chased down by them. So there we have another example, not too different from The Day the Earth Stood Still, about an alien being chased down by the government.
That was Starman.
Yeah.
John Carpenter directed that film.
Yeah.
And I think Jeff Bridges may have been nominated for an Oscar. But the key here is he possessed the body of a woman's dead husband.
Right.
Got which his, is freaky.
Genome from his hair sample or something, I think, if it comes in and he finds this little hair, you know, this ball of light comes in and scans this hair sample of DNA and becomes a human being out of it.
Of course, he struggles to learn things about us. At the end of the movie, he says that she's pregnant with his baby. There was a TV series, short-lived, in the TV show, playing the gentleman who was in Airplane, who played the pilot. He plays that character coming back to meet his son. I guess kind of like the fugitive motif where they're after him. With K-Pax, we don't like to mention the main star of that movie being Kevin Spacey. But they leave it.
He's a fabulous actor, nothing else.
They leave it at the end of the movie with a big question mark is, was he an alien or just some wacky guy?
Well, that's where this sort of walk-in thing that this brings us back around to where we started, that this idea that the sort of the spiritual or the consciousness of some alien can come into our bodies and manifest itself as an alien consciousness that's capable of communicating.
Of course, that's possession, too, to some degree. We got more to come with Gene, Randall, and Mark. But first off, let me remind you about something we haven't talked about on this episode so far. That's the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus is a way that you can get this show free of the network ads with better quality audio. We also offer the fabulous After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. If you want more information about how to sign up and prices start at just $1.49 a week, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts,
preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, the concept of Stargate SG-1, thinking of alien possession, has these serpent-like creatures called the Gauld, and they will possess a human. And they have distinct personalities. It becomes one of the aliens when it possesses you. So that's another way of having that happen.
You know, interestingly, I know that there was a lot of effort. I'm not sure if this is where Contact in the Desert came from. I think you guys would be able to straighten me out for the listeners here. The origin of that, wasn't that a bunch of folks going out in the desert, basically camping out there and sort of psychically trying to communicate with the aliens and put out a mental message into the universe, sort of like an antenna for them to pick up on, letting aliens know that, you know, we were open, or at least this group was open for them visiting and they were seeking contact, et cetera. So that's sort of in that same vein of using mental projections, I guess, or some sort of mind-to-mind contact. Is that right?
Well, it also mirrors the classic George Adamski case, where he supposedly meets E.T. Orthon, wearing the silvery suit, like Michael Rennie, and they there stood still, except he has long blonde hair, so he altered his appearance. He was supposedly witnessed by five people, but they were so far distant from him that they really couldn't see anything. But as far as he claimed in the book, Flying Saucers Have Landed, that he had these eyewitnesses to prove what he said was true. So that's possibly the original contact in the desert before anything subsequent to that.
Yeah, that's how I seem to recall it, too. I think that was way back when Art Bell was doing Dreamland was the first I heard of it. And, yeah, someone was claiming that they had been in some sort of mental contact with the aliens. And then it kind of grew from there to the point where they were going to go out as a group and actually have this actual contact in the desert. And now, of course, this has become an annual conference type of thing where people go, and of course, no aliens came down. I think you're right about that, Mark.
People that take the field seriously, you know, that are active in it, et cetera. I'm wondering how many other of us ufologists have a moment, at least I've had this moment, where I kind of say to myself, well, I haven't really opened myself up to the universe to the point where I'm necessarily welcoming an experience with aliens. But I think that there's a threshold that once you mentally cross over that, that I think inherently you lose some of your capacity for skepticism because now you're almost wanting these things to happen to you. So in terms of, like, I guess to put this into something where I could identify with it, to mentally try to connect myself with the phenomena beyond what I'm doing today is not a threshold that I've mentally been I even felt it necessary, but I haven't, that's not where I'm coming at this from. I'm not putting out the signals to the universe that I want to see a UFO or I think there's a gentleman in Louisiana or something, some preacher that can summon UFOs at will by thinking about it or something. But, and that's an extreme case or example, but no, even individually, you know, I'm not sending out signals to space wishing for an experience.
I would also worry, Mark, if you open yourself up to some kind of experience, whether some force that really doesn't have your best interests in mind will come in there and say, I am one of the space brothers, but they are not.
Yeah, and lots of, there are so many, so much of the content in the industry today is full of people that open themselves to these experiences and they want to have them. And I just think that's dangerous ground. You know, again, you're kind of stepping both feet over the line at that point versus being grounded as you sort of look at this field, et cetera. Randall, how about you? Do you open yourself to the universe? Are you looking for an experience or are you kind of good just seeing the way things unfold?
Well, I look up a lot. Yeah. Pretty much whenever I walk out the door, I'll have a look up and see what's going on in the sky, whether it's daytime or nighttime. I like to keep an eye on the sky, identify things that are up there, even if they're mundane. So I have an idea about what's going on so that if I do see something, I can go, well, that's not like anything else I've seen. I believe Christopher O'Brien would be one of the first to agree. You know, if you want to see a UFO, then get out there and start looking up.
Yeah, I totally agree. We, in my family, we do a lot of just stargazing, something that was developed early in age living in rural, you know, United States, is that light pollution was so low that, man, you could have some star-filled nights where you see all kinds of stuff. And there are times, as a child, I remember laying on the beach, et cetera, camping, looking up at the clear sky, and man, I remember seeing some weird things. But then again, you know, you're young and I don't remember, you know, I don't trust all of those memories, but there is a lot going on in the sky once you start paying attention to it, particularly today with microsatellites, geosynchronous satellites you brought up earlier, Randall, the way that they move in unison or in relational to each other. There is a lot going on in the skies.
And that's just it. How can we even tell nowadays whether or not some sort of phenomena isn't something that we've created ourselves? And if you've got some high-tech government project that sets about to intentionally fool people, say some sort of psyops test or something like that, then I don't think that we could tell the difference anymore. This is what really sets apart modern ufology, well, I should say late modern ufology from early modern ufology. Back in the 40s and 50s, they simply didn't have the technology required to create some sort of a adequate hoax, so to speak. Someone could figure it out or go, well, it's possible we could have made that. Or they could go, no, that's impossible. We don't have the technology to even create a fake. Now we do. I don't think we can be sure anymore unless the aliens themselves come down.
I'm in that camp with you too. I feel like we're technologically advanced to a point where telling, you know, being able to discern a real sighting today, it's just so difficult and I'm so skeptical about it. Again, that's why I keep going back to some of these experience things is where I put my interest because, man, you just don't know. This, the compartmentalization of the government, the advancements in other countries that we have no idea what China, for example, has developed. You know, recently they've been spotted with electromagnetic rail guns on some of their flagship Navy vessels. Well, we had predicted they wouldn't be able to have that type of deployable technology until 2030, and they're 10 years ahead of what we thought they were. Now, that's maybe in the general public. Maybe there's someone at the Pentagon that knew that they're well ahead. I mean, we have no idea what other people are up to, unfortunately, right? And that's just making all of this so much more difficult to navigate.
We're not sure what the sort of technology is out there, but we know what sort of technology could be out there because we know, for example, that holographic laser technology exists and that they can make them appear pretty much anywhere they want them to. If they decide that they want to make some alien craft look like it appears over a city someplace, they could probably do that. The only way that we're going to know whether or not it's real is if it actually lands and we can go up to it and examine it for ourselves.
This has been such a fascinating discussion, taking us into many interesting realms. By the way, next week, Linda Godfrey, the woman who writes those books about monsters or monsters, will be here on the Farrahcast. Mark Jackson, your new site, can you tell our listeners where to find it?
Yeah, if you go to the deepspacepod.com, and you'll find it there. There's, like I said, there's just a little infrastructure for now, but in 2019, this is going to give a platform to a lot more amateurs, I guess is where the word we'll start with, and then we'll see where we end up at the end of 2019. DeepSpacePod.com.
Sounds like Deep Space Nine, doesn't it, folks? You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. You can definitely find two Paracast fan clubs, a community, and a group on Facebook. Don't know what the difference is, but there you go. You can also find our second radio show after the Paracast if you join. Only if you join the Paracast Plus. For more information, check plus.theparacast.com. Plus.theparacast.com. In addition to the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next, we offer a version of this show, the Paracast, free of the network ads. Better quality audio. You can't miss. Learn more. Plus.theparacast.com. Mark Jackson is TDSR in our forums. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Randall. Looking forward to a mysterious 2019.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah. Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.